words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Over the summer, with John's help and guidance, we have been walking the way. And if you missed any of the services, do pick up a booklet which has been produced, which will give you all John's sermons on this theme. The subtitle of Walking the Way is Living the Life of Jesus Today. And in his first sermon, John discussed its central aim: engaging with the world so as to make it an easier place to be good in. And he went on to give us a handy acronym, BLESS, to help and encourage us. And when I began preparing for our service today and I looked at the reading set by the lectionary, it was the passage from the letter of James which really spoke to me. And it seemed to offer, well, I'm not sure if it's a footnote or a postscript to John's sermons, so I hope you won't mind sharing my reflections on this. We don't know much about the letter of James. For example, we don't really know who it was written for or to, and it's been suggested that it isn't actually really a letter at all, but rather a collection of comments from very lively sermons. Certainly, if you read the whole thing through, and it is quite short, the text does jump around a bit rather than flowing as a letter would. And this also raises, of course, another question: who was James? And again, it's thought that he was a gifted preacher. Every so often, it happened in the passage we heard this morning, the text is punctuated with "my brothers and sisters," and you can just imagine somebody, can't you, leaning over, well, I don't know whether they had pulpits then, but that sort of thing. And that is much more of a vocal thing than a written one. The tradition is that this James was in fact the brother of Jesus. But there are a couple of other possibilities. But what matters most, I think, is that we try and hear this text as though we are members of an early Christian congregation, still finding its way and learning to walk the way of Jesus. Now, there's actually enough material in that passage for more than one sermon, and there's some quite difficult little issues there which you might like to think about later at home. I'm going to sidestep those because I've actually concentrated on three themes which are not spiritual rocket science, but I think they're helpful. I think they encourage us and they tell us that we are largely travelling the right way and keep going. And the first theme can be summed up in one word, or should I say instruction: pray. Prayer is the main way in which we as humans can communicate with God. It needs to be part of the fabric of a life of faith. And I would go so far as to say that it should be such a normal activity that it's as natural to us as breathing. In the introduction to his book, Prayers of Life, the French Catholic priest Michel Quast talks about the riches of a contact with God coming from the daily events of our existence. And he compares praying with being a child who's been away for a long time and then returns to tell his father all about what he's been doing. In other words, prayer should come out of everyday life. And I think this very much fits with those opening words in James's letter, this passage from his letter. Are any of you in trouble? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. So we need to pray not only when things are difficult or we are in trouble, but also in the good times, when we can express our thankfulness, as we were thinking about earlier in our service this morning. But of course, many of us do not find prayer easy. A survey carried out some years ago by the Teal Trust found that although a high percentage of the respondents, and I think they talked, or they had, I think, 5,500 responses, regarded personal prayer as vital to the Christian life, they also said, and I'm sure you'll recognise this, that distractions, particularly wandering thoughts, made praying difficult. Recognise that? But I think we also worry about getting our prayers right. In reality, I don't think there is a right or a wrong way. And we don't always need to use formal words or set phrases. I think that's what worries people. They can't find what they consider to be, or think they ought to find, the right words. I don't know that there are right words necessarily. I think prayers can be silent thoughts or pictures in your mind. They can be just two or three sentences, or even simply silence. And all of these can be moments when we feel close to God. And part of that being in tune with God is also, of course, being open to what he wants to say to us. Because prayer shouldn't only be our one-way chatter. I think actually it does tend to be that, doesn't it? But it's also a time to listen for his voice. Michel Quaist again. The Christian must do more than imagine what God is saying to him. He must listen to him, actually speaking in his life and in the world, because God addresses us through every event. The theme of prayer provides a foundation for the other two themes I've picked out of our reading. And the first of these is one that I know you very much do here, that we should always look out for each other. If I was to ask what you value most about worshipping at Ipswich Road URC, I feel pretty sure that fellowship would be a popular answer. It's very interesting. When I arrived this morning, people were talking about last night. And that really illustrates this, I think. A church community is a very special family with bonds which are unlike any other. This is a family which helps and supports and cares what is happening to its members, not just perhaps in the usual way, on the phone, over a cup of coffee, but also through prayer, whether as a congregation on a Sunday or during the week, or in our own private prayers when we know the people we need to be thinking of and we take that home with us. This strong sense of community and fellowship is something so many people need today. And I think that must have been very obvious last night because somebody mentioned the number of non-Ipswich Road people who came to the event. Loneliness and isolation are huge problems and show us how many people need to find a place where they feel they can belong. And this leads me into my final theme. We should always keep the church door open. Now, James speaks about this specifically in connection with members of a congregation who have, for whatever reason, wandered away and who he thinks the congregation should encourage to come back and very much welcome back. But I think having an open door is important in a wider sense too. A few years ago, I visited Leipzig, a city which used to be in communist East Germany after 1945. And by the late 1980s, what a long time ago this seems now, the communist regime was increasingly unpopular and it was being regularly challenged by protest groups, and the Lutheran Church in Eastern Germany was very much part of this. And the Church of St. Nicholas in Leipzig was a centre for this sort of protest, and eventually the pastor agreed to hold a service every evening. It was a service of prayer that things would change and there would be obviously readings and there would be preaching as well. And the numbers who came grew and grew and grew, and it was a huge thing in Leipzig. Outside the church, on the pavement, was a little handwritten sign about this big, which said, "Open to all." And one night, in the middle of the service, a group of Stasi, secret police, arrived. And they marched down one of the aisles. And you can imagine the reaction of the people who were there. And it was obvious that they'd come to break the service up. But they didn't. They stopped. And they started to listen to the pastor. And then they sat down. And they joined in the service. And it was a huge turning point. And it was not that long afterwards that the communist regime in East Germany collapsed. And that little rough and ready sign is still put out by the door of the Nikolaikirche. And those three words, "open for all." You can almost not see it, you know, it is so small, but there it is, sitting on the pavement. And I think those three words say so much. Our churches are not just for us, the regulars. They're for those who perhaps look inside and wonder what it is we do in this hour or so on a Sunday morning. They might ask what makes us different and whether we have something that they could have too. New faces are always, I know, welcome, and we should always think about this and make sure that we do talk to new people who come. As I said at the beginning, none of this is rocket science. And as John said in his opening sermon for Walking the Way, the energy within Walking the Way lies in the simplicity of refreshing what we do already. So the message I think we should take away with us today is actually quite simple. And very achievable. Keep praying on good days and on difficult ones. Continue to look out for each other and keep the church door open for all. And if we can do these things, I think we will make a good start on walking the way of Jesus. Amen.